What is burdening you these days? What's burdening you? Think about it for a moment. What burdens did you carry in with you this morning? You know, every Lord's Day, we gather as a diverse family, but we have at least two things in common. One is that we all carry burdens with us, and two is that most of our burdens have to do with the future. You know, the renowned biblical scholar Ed Welch says that fear, or you could say burdens, their preferred time zone is the future. You see, we all carry with us burdens, but our greatest burden is the fear that those burdens are only going to get worse and not be relieved into the future. We all carry burdens with us. What's burdening you these days? Whatever it is, make no mistake that biblical Christianity is all about being unburdened from the things that truly weary us. After all, it was Jesus himself, in a passage where it's the only place in the Bible that Jesus actually reveals what his inner heart is like to us, Jesus himself says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't it wonderful that Jesus did not say, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you a challenge, a to-do list, a little bit more, another burden." Now, friends, biblical Christianity is not another burden that you need to carry or put on your to-do list. And so all of us can just relax for a moment. Because all week long, we're heaped up with burdens and told that we don't measure up. But then we gather here this morning and we're reminded that biblical Christianity is about Jesus unburdening us from all that truly wearies. And this morning we begin our fall journey through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, the churches in Galatia, which is modern day Turkey. And Paul's letter to the Galatians is all about the power of Jesus to unburden us from everything that truly wearies. And the letter begins with a prayer. The letter begins with the Apostle Paul praying for you to experience that which will actually unburden you. Here's a simple prayer, Galatians 1, verse 3. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. Simple, but rightly understood, that's what will truly unburden you. Grace and peace. As we begin our journey through Galatians, one of our tour guides is going to be Martin Luther. The great reformer Martin Luther rediscovered the gospel of grace about 500 years ago, and he wrote a commentary on Paul's letter to the Galatians that is probably in the top 10 most important books written in the 2,000 years of Christian history. And in his commentary on Galatians, Luther writes this. He gets right to the heart of the significance of grace and peace to unburden us from everything that truly wearies. Here's what Luther says. "These two words, grace and peace, include all that belong to Christianity. Grace releases sin and peace makes the conscience quiet. The two fiends that torment us are sin and conscience. But Christ has vanquished these two monsters and has trodden them underfoot, both in this life and in the life to come. Grace contains the remission of sins and a quiet and joyful conscience. Peace of conscience can never be had unless sin is forgiven first. The more merit mongers labor and sweat," by the way, merit mongers are those who try to deal with their sins in their own efforts, either by cleaning themselves up or doing more. "The more merit mongers labor and sweat to bring themselves out of sin, the deeper they're plunged into it. If we are comforted and heartened by the grace of God, that is, by the forgiveness of sin and by this peace of conscience, we are able to bear all troubles valiantly and overcome them, even death itself. City Light Church, no matter what's burdening you, if we are comforted and heartened by God's grace and peace every day, then we can bear all of our burdens valiantly. And that's what it really means to be unburdened. And that brings us to the big idea of our passage this morning. Rightly understood, it's actually the big idea of all of Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's this: enjoy grace and peace. Paul's opening prayer and our big idea is be comforted and heartened by a fresh experience of God's grace and peace that come to you unmerited through the finished work of Christ so that you can bear all your burdens valiantly and even overcome them, which is what it means to be unburdened. Enjoy grace and peace. Okay. So how do we enjoy grace and peace? Two ways in our passage this morning. First, rest in Christ's finished work. Second, refuse false gospels. So to enjoy a fresh experience of grace and peace every day, first rest and then refuse. Rest in Christ's finished work, refuse false gospels. Let's begin with the first. Rest in Christ's finished work. You see, to enjoy a fresh experience of grace and peace every day, we have to go to the very source, the one and only fountain from which grace and peace can be found, and that is the finished work of Christ on the cross. So let's begin the letter, Galatians 1, verses 1 to 2. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Now, you and I, we're not apostles, but we are Christians. And we are Christians the same way Paul is an apostle. Not from man or through men, but through God and Jesus Christ, his Son. You know, you didn't make yourself a Christian. And you don't remain a Christian by your good works, your own merits, being born into the right family, or doing the right things. You're not a Christian from men or through a man or a woman, including yourself. You're a Christian, a saint, a forgiven, beloved child of God through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead to give you eternal life. So rest in the finished work of Jesus. You didn't make yourself a follower of Jesus. You don't keep yourself a follower of Jesus. You don't earn God's favor. It's a gift that's lavished on you. So rest from all your working in the finished work of Jesus, and you'll enjoy grace and peace, the very things you need to be unburdened from all that wearies you. Now let's move to Paul's prayer specifically, verses 3 to 5. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Sins, present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father. Notice it doesn't even say according to our will. This is just all a gift. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I love the way Dr. Tony Evans describes grace. He says, grace is unmerited favor. It is the inexhaustible goodness of God that is not deserved, cannot be earned, and which we would never be able to repay. Grace is always free and apart from works. It's like Luther says, grace releases sin. And peace makes the conscience quiet. Now, do you ever wonder why Paul prays that Christians who have already received the grace and peace of God through Christ would experience it again? Have you ever wondered why Paul would write to a church full of Jesus' followers who are already under the grace and peace of the gospel, why he would pray, grace to you and peace? Well, the answer is because we all face two great tyrants who always threaten to burden us, even after we become followers of Jesus. And those two tyrants are right here in the verses I just read. Those tyrants are sin and this present evil age. So we sin whenever we fail to do and be what God requires in his law in the Bible. And sin brings death, separation from God, and the curse of eternal hell. But for even for those of us who have been forgiven of our sins through faith in Jesus, we still continue to sin every day. And our sins accuse us. They lie to us. They tell us, oh, you must not really be a Christian because of those sins. Oh, you better actually keep your distance from God. He can't really love you when you're doing that. Our sins still harass our conscience and tempt us to keep our distance from God. And then, of course, the second tyrant that burdens us is this present evil age. Now, this is really important. In Galatians, this present evil age refers to our tendency to try to deal with our sins by our own efforts. In a very real sense, what Paul says is wrong with this present evil age is that it's actually too moral for Jesus. What's wrong with this present evil age is that it is chock full of the tendency to think that we deal with our sins by either cleaning ourselves up or doing more. And each and every one of us are tempted by this tyrant, this burdening tyrant, every day when we sin and are tempted to think, I can come back to God as soon as I stop this or do that. And the only thing that can quiet these tyrants is a fresh daily enjoyment of God's unmerited, undeserved grace and peace. And that's where the finished work of Jesus comes in. Because God's grace and peace comes to us without any works of ours, because it comes to us through the finished work, the sinless life, the atoning death, and the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the central message of Christianity, what we call the gospel, is that God, our Father, gives us grace and peace, release from our sins and a quiet conscience by giving his Son as a substitute for us on the cross. See, the truth is that we actually all have sinned. We have all failed to be and do what God requires in his word. Not only have we sinned, we are sinful. Have you ever thought about the Ten Commandments? I was thinking about this a little bit this past week. I got the privilege of preaching at Temple University on Thursday night. And I was thinking about the reality that one of the reasons why grace and peace don't always mean that much to us is we don't think we're all that sinful. Sin is something I might do, mess up occasionally. It's not really who I am. Have you ever loved anything in your heart more than God? You're an idolater. Have you ever used God's name in a sort of flippant fashion? Have you ever been angry towards someone in your heart? Jesus says you're a murderer. Have you ever looked at a woman or a man with the intent of lusting after them? Jesus says you're an adulterer. Have you ever been willing to sin to get something that isn't yours? The Bible says you are a coveter. Our sins accuse us every day. Friends, just the sins we commit today deserve eternal punishment because they're against the infinitely good God. But the central message of Christianity is not good advice about how you need to either clean yourself up or do more. The central message of Christianity right here at the beginning of Galatians is that you can be free of all the burdens of sin and enjoy a quiet conscience, not because you deserve it, but because Jesus lived a sinless life and then gave himself up as a substitute in our place for our sins and then rose again to give us eternal life. Jesus' finished work is the only place where we can go every day to enjoy a fresh experience of God's unmerited grace and his extraordinary peace. It's just like Luther said. These two words, grace and peace, include all that belong to Christianity. Grace releases sin and peace makes the conscience quiet. The two fiends that torment us are sin and conscience. Conscience, this present evil age. But Christ has vanquished these two monsters and has trodden them underfoot, both in this life and the life to come. Grace contains the remission of sins, a quiet and joyful conscience, if we are comforted and heartened by the grace of God. That is, by the forgiveness of sin and by this peace of conscience, we are able to bear all troubles valiantly and to overcome them, even death itself. So friends, what's burdening you? Whatever it is no match for a fresh daily enjoyment of God's unmerited grace and his free peace that comes to you when you stop working and start resting in Jesus' finished work, his sinless life, his atoning death, his victorious resurrection. Now, of course, I think at this point, some of us may be wondering if you're like me, if you're a little bit more of a doer. Well, how do I very practically rest in the finished work of Jesus to, you know, enjoy grace and peace? You know, the problem with that question is that you may have noticed there are no imperative verbs in the first five verses of Galatians. We don't do anything. God has done it all through the finished work of Christ. And so I guess the best answer I can give you for how do we rest in the finished work of Jesus is dare to believe it. Just dare to open up your empty hands and receive it. When you're tempted to sin, dare to believe that God has already placed your sins on Christ and given you his unmerited favor. And so why would you want to go down that road? When you do sin and you are tempted to keep your distance from God, just dare to believe that there is fresh grace and a peaceful conscience for you through Christ, and you can just draw near. Just dare to believe it. Now, there are things that can help you dare to believe that good news. You know, coming to and dealing with Christ himself every day. You know, coming to him in prayer with your sins, receiving the good news of his word every day. Abiding in him, that can help you believe. Going to Citigroup every week and being reminded by your brothers and sisters that despite all your sins, you are under God's grace, unmerited, and his free peace. You know, coming to church on the Lord's Day and singing of grace and hearing of grace and tasting of grace in the Lord's Supper. But friends, really, we stop working. We start opening our hands and receiving, resting in the finished work of Jesus. And then we experience grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So first we rest. But then secondly, we refuse. We refuse. In order to enjoy God's grace and peace to us in Christ every day, first, we just rest in the finished work of Jesus. We just keep coming back to that fountain again and again and again because it never runs dry. But then we also refuse. Secondly, we refuse false gospels. Refuse false gospels. If you're looking in your Bible, you notice that verse 6 begins the body of Paul's letter. But grace and peace are still in the forefront. And Paul's letter to the Galatians, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it doesn't begin like any of Paul's other letters. If you've read Paul's other letters, you know that after his greeting, he usually says something really nice about the churches that he's writing to. I mean, even the dysfunctional church at Corinth got Paul to say, you know, okay, I'm seeing these evidences of grace in you. Nothing for the Galatians. Have you ever, parents, any of your children ever darted into oncoming traffic before? You know that, like, just heart-sinking feeling. And when you finally get a hold of them and you pull them near you, you know, it's not time for me to point out evidences of grace in your life. Your life is on the line. This is massively significant and we have to deal with it right now. That's the kind of situation the Galatians are in. And frankly, it's the kind of situation that you and I face every day. The Galatians, Paul has no time to tell them all that's good about them because they are tempted to depart from God and go after another gospel. And Paul says, with all of the love of a father who's just rescued his child from oncoming traffic, I'm astonished at what you're doing and you need to stop. You must refuse false gospels. Galatians 1, 6 through 7. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Isn't that interesting? Turning to a different gospel is turning away from God himself. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one. Okay, quick background. After Paul traveled to Galatia, preached the gospel there, and planted churches, some false teachers who claimed to be Christians wormed their way into the church, and they began distorting the gospel of God that Paul preached to them. And the gist of the distortion was, no. You can't enjoy free and unmerited grace apart from any works of yours and just believing in the finished work of Jesus. No. To be truly right with God, to be truly saved, to truly be accepted in God and his love, yes, you have to believe in the finished work of Jesus, but you also need to uphold the law of Moses in the Old Testament. Specifically and especially kosher food laws, particular Jewish festivals, and most importantly, circumcision. The Apostle Paul is writing because nothing will upset your grace from God and peace in the gospel like adding your work to Jesus' finished work. And Paul looks at them and us with all the intensity of a father and says, refuse false gospels. Now, to translate into our modern terms, the gist of the false gospel that the Galatians were tempted to turn to was this. Here's the false gospel we're all tempted by. Jesus plus something, anything I do, equals truly right with God, truly saved, truly accepted by God in his love. That's the gist of the false gospel that all of us are tempted to forfeit God's grace and peace and turn to. All of us are tempted in our heart of hearts to believe that, yeah, Jesus' work is good, but I need to add my work. And then I'll be okay. Then I'll actually feel like I'm right with God. And friends, the Christian life is a daily resting in the finished work of Jesus and refusing gospel additions so that you can enjoy grace and peace to overcome every burden. So here's a question. What are you tempted to add to Jesus to actually feel like I'm right with God? I'm okay. I'm really saved. I'm really one of the good people. I'm all right. What are you tempted to add to Jesus to feel like you're finally at peace with God? Depending on your personality, it's always going to be some form of either clean up, or do more. So if you've got a personality like mine, it's Jesus plus, I just got to clean this area of my life up, stop doing that, and then I'll be okay. Then I'll really feel like God loves me, and we're good, and I won't be so uneasy in his presence anymore. Or if you've got another type of personality, it's, if I believe in Jesus plus, I take up one more cause, do one more thing, check off one more box, then I'll feel like I'm one of the real Christians. But friends, Jesus gave himself up to take away our sins, so there's nothing left for you to clean up. And Jesus gave himself up to deliver us from this present evil age, so there's nothing left for you to do. Christianity is a religion that over it flies the banner, no help wanted. Jesus has done it all, and we simply rest in it by faith and refuse all substitutes. You have grace for your sins and peace for your conscience, so refuse all substitutes and enjoy grace and peace. Now, that brings me to just one last question. And that last question is this. How do we actually refuse false gospels? Now, I will tell you, by raising that question, whether you know it or not, I'm actually tiptoeing right into a ton of controversy. But let's step there because that's where God's word takes us. How do we refuse false gospels? Galatians 1, 7 and 9. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Isn't that interesting? Paul actually doesn't sweat to actually accuse even their motives. He doesn't say, they're good people, just teaching bad doctrine. No, they want to distort the gospel. I bet they weren't even aware that they were actively opposing the true gospel. But Paul says that's what they're doing. It's their very desire to do it. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, Paul's speaking about himself, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul sounds like a dad who is just pulling that child back from oncoming traffic. Now, the reason, so let me state how we refuse false gospels, and then I'll tell you why that's so controversial. We refuse false gospels by rejecting false teachers. It's that simple. We refuse false gospels by rejecting false teachers. Now, why is that so controversial? It's so controversial on one hand because we live in an age where it is wildly unpopular to say that anyone is a false teacher. It's so judgmental. It's so narrow. It's so, frankly, Christian, actually. Because Paul is willing to say, if a messenger from heaven were to preach to you a gospel other than the one you received here in Scripture, then let them be eternally destroyed. Now, the second reason why that's so controversial, well, it's because you may be actually somewhat surprised to know that different Christian traditions have differed wildly on how they answer this question throughout the centuries. Have you ever wondered why we're not Roman Catholic? Why we're not Eastern Orthodox? Why we're Protestant? It's because of these verses right here. Others, of course, as well. It's because these verses here teach us that we should reject any pope, any church tradition, any catechism, any teacher, even an angel from heaven, if they preach a gospel other than the gospel we've received in Scripture of God's free and unmerited grace. The reason why we're Protestant is we don't put church tradition or a pope on equal authoritative footing with the gospel that we've received in Scripture. And the Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox don't believe that. We believe that a church like City Light is actually responsible to reject any false teacher that brings a gospel other than the gospel of free and unmerited grace and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, friends, the way that we enjoy a fresh experience of grace and peace, the remission of our sins and a quiet conscience so that we can face any burden valiantly, which is what it means to be unburdened, is that we rest in the finished work of Jesus. And we refuse false gospels. Have you welcomed any so-called Christian teachers into your life who distort the gospel of grace or de-emphasize it because they think something else is more important? Our passage would lead us to say, if we want to enjoy God's grace and peace, then we rest in the finished work of Jesus and we refuse false gospels by genuinely rejecting false teachers. And City Light, it's only responsible of me to say that that includes me. City Light Church, you have to know that there are good reasons to fire me. If an angel from heaven, the Apostle Paul, I, or any of your pastors, preach to you a gospel other than the one you've received in Scripture, it is your responsibility to come to me and tell me about it. And if I refuse to repent of it, it is your responsibility to take the other biblical steps necessary to either lead me to repentance or fire me, because your grace and peace is that massive and significant. And so as we begin this journey, Paul's prayer, God's will for you, is that you would enjoy every day a fresh experience of God's grace in the remission of all your sins and a quiet, peaceful conscience so that you can give glory to God and enjoy his unmerited favor. City Light Church, what is burdening you? Whatever it is no match for God's unmerited grace that is to you and the peaceful conscience that he gives to you, not by your work, but by the finished work of Jesus. Rest in him. Enjoy the grace and peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all thanks and praise. Because though we sin every day and condemn ourselves, you've released us from all of our sins by grace. Thank you that though our sins rise up and accuse us and tell us we're not the real deal and we better get working, that instead you give to us a peaceful conscience through the finished work of Christ. And so prepare our hearts now to remember the finished work of Christ in communion, and to sing of the finished work of Christ in song so that we can enjoy grace and peace again. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.